The jobs market is flashing a clear warning sign. I'm David Brancaccio. There's news today that U.S. employers added only 75,000 more people to payrolls last month at a time when many economists were expecting a number 2.5 times higher. It's also true that a separate government survey of households finds the unemployment rate holding steady at a low 3.6%. But something seems to be making businesses more cautious about hiring. Christopher Lowe is chief economist at FTN Financial. Hi, Chris.
Good morning, David.
Well, some people wanted to dismiss the report we got out from the private sector on Wednesday as a fluke, and now the government data seems to confirm something is getting a little quieter.
Well, that's right. You know, net job growth actually of zero, right? Because 75,000 gain in May, but there was a 75,000 downward revision to March and April. It really does appear U.S. business confidence is rattled, and we all know what's rattling it. It's the breakdown of U.S.-China trade negotiations. Obviously, the threat of Mexican tariffs would be a problem, too, but this survey was conducted before those tariffs were announced.
What else can we see in the data in terms of the health of the job market? For instance, are we getting paid more? We are.
Wage growth is still positive. That's the good news. But wage growth peaked back in February at 3.4%. In April, it had slowed to 3.2%. Now it's 3.1%. And there's still clearly ample slack in the labor market, which allows companies to hold the line on wage growth. You know, from the Fed's perspective, you put those together, right? Weak job growth, weaker wage growth, and it suggests policy is just too tight.
Chris Lowe at FTN Financial, thank you for the briefing.
Thank you, David.
According to our new Marketplace Edison research poll this week, 24% of workers have discussed their pay with coworkers. From time to time on Workplace Issues, we like to ask a manager. Allison Green is an author and blogger who's done a lot of hiring, firing, promoting, and managing in her time. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
All right. I know it's taboo in many workplaces. In fact, some employers ban you from talking about what you get paid. You think that's a problem?
Well, it's illegal for most workers. There's a federal law that prohibits employers from banning people from talking about salary. But the idea is that you need to have the ability to organize with your coworkers about wages and about working conditions.
And the theory is that some transparency about what each and every one of us gets paid will help shed light on inequities.
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton of research showing that women and people of color get paid less than white people and white men. And so keeping salaries a secret means that it's much harder to spot those pay discrepancies and to address them.
The employers argue that sometimes there are certain subtle reasons that a person would get paid a little more or a little less than a coworker.
It's fine to pay people differently if it's based on merit. So an employer can say, you know, we're paying person X more because they brought in twice as much client revenue as you did last year, or they manage higher level projects or whatever it might be. But you want to be able to point to something like that. And if you can't, there's a problem.
You opened my eyes to a very interesting study from last year that's about African-American employees when they're negotiating for a raise or for a salary. Give me a sense of what that study showed.
The study you're referencing found that when Black job applicants negotiated their salaries when they were first getting hired, the people they were negotiating with viewed them as more aggressive and more pushy than white job applicants who were doing the same type of negotiating. And they even mistakenly thought that Black job applicants were negotiating more and harder than white applicants, even when they were asking for the same amount. And so what you find is people getting lower starting salaries, and you also find people being afraid to negotiate.
All right, well, I'm asking a manager, Allison. We don't want people to have that takeaway. Don't negotiate because people will think you're pushy. What is your advice?
The thing to remember is this is data in the aggregate. It doesn't mean that if you're a woman or a person of color that every time you negotiate, you'll be penalized for it. In fact, the penalty for not negotiating over the course of your career is going to be a lot more significant. Your next salary is going to be based on this salary. And so you want to do everything that you can to get that initial number up there.
Allison Green is author of Ask a Manager, How to Navigate Clueless Colleagues, Lunch-Stealing Bosses, and the Rest of Your Work Life. Allison, thank you.
Thank you.
As a nonprofit news organization, Marketplace is able to do what we do every day thanks to funding from public radio stations, foundations, corporate underwriters, and listeners like you. Thank you to all the Marketplace investors who've contributed over the last year for helping keep public service journalism strong. All of us really appreciate your support.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
The 73rd Tony Awards for Broadway's Finest are this Sunday. Last year's ratings were up, unlike many other award shows. The Tonys are not just about prestige, but they also bring an economic benefit. Marketplace's Sabri Benishore has our story.
Abraham Ravid is a professor of finance at the Cy Sim School of Business, and he looked at a natural experiment that occurs pretty regularly on long-running Broadway shows. Actors get replaced. So what happens when the replacement actor is a multiple Tony Award nominee?
The weekly revenue could go up by 20%.
Ravid didn't find the same effect for actors who'd been nominated for an Oscar and then went to Broadway.
Tony nominations seem to reflect not just artistic merit, but real economic value to shows.
If a show itself wins a Tony, particularly Best Musical, it's like a fountain of youth.
A Tony Award for Best Musical can add anywhere from 6 months to a year and a half to a run.
David Rooney is chief theater critic at The Hollywood Reporter. He says some producers will still push hard for a Tony, even well after their shows have closed.
The prestige still means something in terms of that producer then going and packaging future projects.
Tony Awards may not be plated in gold like the Oscars, but they're still worth quite a bit. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
Thanks, Sabri. I'm David Brancaccio, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.